This fall, Jessica and I have been preaching from the Old Testament mostly, focusing on that great story, that great salvation story of God bringing God's people out of Egyptian captivity into a place that had promised, and them learning to sing a new song in a new land, and also learning to sing the song in the wilderness, where they were, when they were not sure where they were going and what they were to be about. We heard them receive the word from God from on high and their response to it, but then also began to realize that the people often went their own way, fashioning even for themselves the golden calf, as we talked about last Sunday. It occurred to us, as Jessica and I were speaking about this series, that it was not a question as to whether or not people believed in God. That's the modern day question, as to whether God exists. But the ancient question was one of what God do we serve? Because it was clear that there was a pantheon of gods in the cultures that surrounded them, but even some understanding that perhaps God was a God in community, a God of multiplicity. So as we continue the text for today from Exodus chapter 33, we pick up this question of Moses engaging Yahweh God. "Show me your glory, I pray," says Moses to God. It wasn't "show me whether you exist, God." It was "show me your glory. Show me what kind of God you are." A question that many of us ask: can anyone really know God in any sense of what it means to engage and to know God? Can we even begin to scratch the surface of knowing God? And yet a part of, I think, our worship, our corporate worship as we gather each Sunday, is to name something of what we know or what we feel we know about this God, because we believe it's important to us, that it determines our worldview, it determines what we believe about peace in our community and in our world. It determines how we treat other people as to what we believe about God. For example, if we believe that God is a God of rules and do's and don'ts, then we treat people in a similar fashion, in a cold, non-personal way, by the book, making sure that people follow certain prescribed rules. If we believe that God is all about judgment and making people follow certain ways, and then we believe that we need to also judge other people and be critical of those who act or believe in ways often that are different than our own. The way we perceive God has everything to do with the way we live our lives, whether we are aware of that or not. But I ask again, can we really grasp who God is? Perhaps we can catch a glimpse of God the way Moses did. For you see, Moses was an ordinary person like any of us. Sure, he grew up in a palace, but don't forget that he was a son of a slave and that he was adopted into the palace, if you remember the Moses story. His adopted mother was a princess, but that didn't change the fact that he found himself fleeing at a later time, fleeing for his very life. And Moses became a fugitive, a murderer. And he found himself tending sheep in the wilderness for 40 long years. This is the one, this Moses, this fugitive criminal on the run for his life, is the one who years later stands on the mountain and hears the word from God, which immediately tells us something about God, that God is willing to engage ordinary people, yes, even people we would consider often unworthy. Meanwhile, the rest of the people were down, cowering away from the presence of the Almighty. And Moses is there on the mountain engaging God. In last week's Exodus passage, the story of the golden calf details then Moses' role in acting as a mediator, an advocate for the people. Because remember, Yahweh is angry at the people for their actions and threatens to destroy them, and Moses comes and stands in the gap, so to speak, pleading to God on their behalf, negotiates with Yahweh, calls to God's own honor, and God changes God's mind. But Moses now, today, seems to say, okay, God, I need a little more from you. I need proof. I need you to be specific. I need you to show me your ways. As usual for anyone, I think Moses, like we, need assurance of God's presence in our lives during rough times. But earlier in their first meeting, Moses craves God's name. He wants to know God's name. But the answer is this mysterious, I am who I am. And he says further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. What? I am has sent me to you? Now, what kind of a response is that before Pharaoh when Moses goes and says, let our people go? And Pharaoh says, what? Who gives you that mandate? And Moses is to respond, I am told me that you're to let my people go. And Moses then keeps pressing. He asks, how will anyone know that you are with us? How can we be this distinct people? And how will people know that I, Moses, have found favor in the Lord's sight? And God answers with a promise. I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight. And I know you by name. You will not fully know me by name, but I know you by name. And so Moses receives some kind of, we might say, a little bit weird divine assurance. But Moses still isn't content. He presses on. He wants to see God's glory. Wants to see God and God's fullness. And God grants still another request and tells Moses how the Lord will be manifest to Moses by God's goodness to his people. And when the Lord passes by Moses, the glory of the Lord will be shown to Moses, and Moses will see the Lord's backside. Though not face to face, as earlier alluded to in Exodus chapter 33, when it says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. But Moses' persistence yields him this divine blessing and assurance of relationship with God. You might say Moses is pretty gutsy. Here's this fugitive, ordinary guy on the run, and yet with this interesting personal encounter with the Almighty God, maybe giving us courage to also ask of God to know God's face and God's glory. What Moses is asking is to see God, to experience God, to have a better comprehension of this mighty one, wanting to get a deeper relationship with God. And what I find amazing is that God's ready to engage Moses and ready to engage us in our search. For we know that Jesus would later say, "Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." But Exodus 33 here in this text says that God also says to Moses, "You can't see my face, for no one can see me and live." But God wanted to share himself with Moses, so God told him, "Here is a place where you can stand on this rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see." That's really interesting. Why not seeing God face to face? And I wonder if it's perhaps a gift of grace from a loving God that we see only a fleeting glimpse of the glory of God. Perhaps that's all we as mortals can stand of the glory of God. It may be too overwhelming for us otherwise. Some scholars suggest that where it says, "You shall see my back," is better translated, "You shall see traces of where I have been." Maybe not even see God's backside, but see traces of where God has been. And I find that pretty appropriate in terms of reflecting on my own relationship with God. That it seems to me that in the moment, I often feel more of a sense of God's absence. But then when I spend some time in quiet reflection, looking back over my day or the week or year or lifetime even, then I notice more God's presence and grace and glory in the ways that God has been with me and sustained me, or for us as a people. There is a discipline that was developed by St. Ignatius called the examen of conscience, or the daily examen. It's a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day in order to detect God's presence and discern direction. It's an ancient practice of the church that's been brought back, and many Christians have developed and have utilized this examen as a way of seeing God's trace, the trace of God's presence throughout the day. St. Ignatius believed that this was a gift of God to him, and those that were followers of St. Ignatius, he instructed in this way of the examen of conscience and made it a requirement of the Jesuits to practice this discipline twice a day, at noon and at the end of the day. It's five parts, or there's variations of it. But first is to just become aware of God's presence, looking back, reflecting back over the course of a day or whatever you might be, whatever portion of time you're reflecting back on, to become aware of God's presence through the events of the day, and to receive the day and review it with gratitude, and to pay attention to what's going on within us, what emotions are there, what feelings, what things we need to let go of, what we need to receive, and choosing one feature of the day and praying from it, and then looking toward the future, toward tomorrow. But as I thought about our own, and that's a practice, as I said, many Christians, this examen of consciousness, have picked up on, and that I commend to you as a way of being aware of God's presence, seeing perhaps God's backside or the traces of God in our lives and in our communal life and in our world in this day in which there's so much turmoil and strife. It's important for us, I think, to notice those places where we see God in the midst of it. But as reflecting on Mennonite spirituality, it seems that Mennonites, I think, tend to be aware of the glory of God when we sing together. So it's right that we as Mennonites take seriously our hymns and how we sing together, what words we use, what tunes we use, to be intentional about that. So it's gratifying for me to see that it's time again after 25 years to reflect on our hymnody, on the songs that we're singing this morning. And this committee that's in charge of this new hymnal project is inviting our feedback. And so we want you to respond to us, the songs that we're singing this morning, and as we continue on this journey, I'm sure we'll be led along the way in more singing and more new songs. For as we sing together, we are formed by what we say about God and our relationship to God and the world. So let us dare to pray with Moses, God, show us your glory. Show us your glory through the songs we sing, through the confessions that we confess, through our words, through our music. And even if it's a trace of where you've been, that will do. Amen.